Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. First, I wish to say how grateful and delighted I am to join for you for a time being Christ Church in Bloomington. Those of you I've met so far have been gracious and welcoming. I'm seeing how you care for others in this neighborhood, how you witness to God's kingdom through your actions of love. In the forum that following the worship this morning, I'll tell a little bit more about myself. But for now, the topic is God and what in the world God is up to. The beautiful praise Mary speaks in the gospel reading has been traditionally been called the Magnificat. It is sung as devotion, and poems are written about it, and pious people memorize it. It is lifted up as expression of personal devotion to a glorious God. But read it carefully and pay attention to the drama that leads up to this praise. It's outlandish. It's unnerving. What was God thinking? The Lord Almighty bringing salvation to this world, overthrowing dominions, challenging nations, altering history, and he begins with a little girl. When you read the Bible, does that cross your mind? What was God thinking? Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. All is perfect. All is beautiful and calm. But God puts a tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden and tells them, "Don't touch." What was God thinking? Anyone who knows inquisitive kids knows better than to tell them, "Don't touch." Okay, Israel wanted kings. God told them kings are no good.
Kings become corrupt and dictate. Kings rage and pout and take. You know such kings today. We don't call them kings, but they think they are. Kings are no good. The people of Israel wanted a king. So God gave them a king who predictably grew corrupt and persecuted civilians and impoverished the people and eventually led both Israel and Judah to destruction and exile. What was God thinking? And now, in this Bible story, God picks Mary. Mary the unremarkable. Mary the meek. Mary the girl. Mary was probably about 14 years old when the angel Gabriel came to her. Any older and she would have already been married. And as the Gospel of Luke tells it, Mary is without status or stature or past. Not even the genealogy in the third chapter of Luke mentions Mary. That list of ancestors is through Joseph's line. Mary has no history, no qualifications, no known virtues that would cause God to pick her. Mary holds no official position among the people. She's not even described as righteous. She is among the most powerless people in her society. She is young in a world that values age, female in a world ruled by men, poor in a stratified economy. She has neither husband or child to validate her existence. And now she is unmarried and with child. What was God thinking? In those days, Mary set out with haste. Perhaps it was to get out from all the mean whispers and judgmental comments. And that she did not go to the big city, Jerusalem, to lose herself among the crowds. She went to a small village in the hill country to be with her kin, where both might wait out their pregnancies. And entering, Mary speaks the usual greeting, Shalom. The greeting is as common as our hello, but bears in its etymology much more. Shalom is blessing visitors bear. Shalom is a wish and promise that means peace, the peace of friends. Shalom bears the connotations of good fortune and well-being and prosperity and God's favor. So Mary speaks the usual greeting, but the heavens quake at the apocalyptic importance. Mary's shalom innocently declares the age's yearning of peace at last, of God's kingdom come, of the long-awaited Savior. Shalom declares a new age begun. Shalom and the prophet-to-be inside Elizabeth announces God come among us. Before he is even born, John the Baptist leaps in gleeful, ecstatic joy at our Savior come. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, she is filled with John the Baptist, but with him she is also filled with God. She cannot help but blurt out, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And then Elizabeth wonders, Why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? Before Mary says another word, Elizabeth knows. Elizabeth is full of God. Elizabeth knows the Lord has come before any announcement from Mary. Two mothers meet, and two babies not yet born, greet. Elizabeth, old and barren like ancestor Sarah, wife of Abraham, who became the mother of nations. Elizabeth, righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Elizabeth, of a priestly descent, wife of a priest, a pure lineage, walk back through the prophets to the beginning of Israel's history. Elizabeth, who's standing among people respected and untarnished, who connects present to ancient sources, whose very being is history and lore. Elizabeth, old woman of ancient roots and righteous bearing, embodies the Old Testament history of God loving and blessing. And then there's Mary. As Luke tells it, Mary has no family or lineage. Mary has no honor or worthy attribute. Mary has no history. Mary has no husband. Who's your mama? Where do you belong? Who are you? Mary has no past or present being. Ancient sources and righteous ages, prophets and priests of old bearing in Elizabeth meet Mary of nothing. The gospel writer Luke is telling us something important here. Luke is telling us something has happened, something new. Mary is the beginning of a new age. Jesus is not a continuation of past prophets and priests. Jesus is not historical forces rumbling on as always. And Jesus is not a better version of biblical heroes. A new age has begun. A new history has taken hold. A new way and a new rule and a new kingdom has come. Mary has no past, for Jesus is a new creation, a new Adam. God has intervened and begun again. From nothing, the Holy Spirit has come upon her, and a new future has begun. Christmas begins a new future. These past years are a culmination of frustration and unfair ways that have erupted into national divisions, protests, and violence, and threats to our democracy, suspicion of facts, attacks on our political institutions, all this before COVID even appeared. The world is flying apart. Selfishness and bigotry have taken hold. Christian principles of providing for the poor, protecting the vulnerable, insisting on kindness and regard for others are now abandoned for raw power and self-interest. Christmas begins a new future. God is doing something new in our day. And church, this church, and all churches of whatever denomination are God's testimony to a better way. Sorely needed in our world now are good people of God forgoing the pressure to react in outrage and anger. Sorely needed are good people no longer putting up with petty prejudices. Sorely needed in our world now are good people standing against outrageous concentration of wealth and power in a few, while so many go without basic needs for living. Sorely needed in our world now is the message of God doing something new, God intervening to set us on a different path, a different future. And we, church, bear that message, declare hope for a better way. and with shepherds, we stand agape. With young mother, we ponder what this might be. And with sages and wise men, we see a star, a child, a king, a future, a hope, a savior. And with stepfather, we bravely accept what is to be. And with the crowds and future disciples and faithful women and apostles and converts and church women and church men of years to come, we yearn and pray and welcome the new age now come upon us. Amen.
Strength and consolation, O poor.